السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
دو تین دن ہوئے مجھے ہمارے یہاں کے مشن انچارج
راشد صاحب نے لکھا حضور سیز دیٹ ٹو اور تھری ڈیز ہیو پاسڈ سنس دا مشنری انچارج ہیئر عطاء المجیب راشد صاحب روٹ ٹو می دیٹ دس ایئر از دی 125th ایئر سنس دا پروفیسی آف مسلح موعود واز میڈ آئی انفر فرام دا مینر آف دا لیٹر that he desired that I should deliver a sermon on this topic, although he did not explicitly request this. Every year, jalsas are held on this theme. Just 2 years ago, I delivered a sermon on this topic, although the subject matter is such that it cannot be covered entirely in only just one sermon. So, initially I was not for this. However, then I became inclined towards this, that this is a great prophecy, and this prophecy does not relate to any specific person. In fact, this prophecy relates to the revival of Islam. And the essence of this prophecy is actually the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And this is the reason why discoursing on this is essential. The other reason why this is essential is because where on a level of the Jamaat we enjoy freedom and where jalsas can and do occur. So there are various angles and aspects of the prophecy that different speakers try to present and to portray. However, in Pakistan there are restrictions on jalsas taking place. And for them as well, this topic is such that it is also necessary for the youth to know about. The youngsters should have knowledge of this, and new converts also should be aware of this. And not only should new converts be conversed in this area, but also due to the fluctuations in a person's state. It is not unlikely that even some quite mature or elder people may not possess knowledge of this subject or studied it. But perhaps today they have been drawn towards this topic. Nonetheless, this is why it is necessary to present this subject. If only even to a certain degree. by repeating issues again and again. It increases the faith of people, whether they are new or old Ahmadis, and it increases their wisdom and knowledge as well. Then there is also this, that by the grace of Almighty Allah, as the Jamaat is spreading rapidly in new countries and into new areas, there are speakers or there are appointed mu'allameens. Some, they do not possess complete knowledge of every matter with regard to, for example, the new prophecies of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and they do not have adequate knowledge to discuss this in depth. So, in this perspective as well, I deemed it necessary to discuss this topic. So, as I have stated, although the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, made this prophecy, that Allah the Almighty will grant you a son, who will be the Muslim Ma'ud, that is, the promised reformer, and explaining it, he mentioned many qualities that this promised son would possess. But actually, the Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he had already stated this prophecy in the following words 1400 years ago. That Yanzolo Isa ibn Maryama ilal ard, wa itazawwajo wa yuladu lahu. That when Jesus, son of Mary, will descend on the earth, he will marry and he will have children. As we all know, the details of Jesus, son of Mary, have been explained by the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in another hadith, in relation to who he will be. This is a hadith of Bukhari, but this is also found in Muslim and other hadith books. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا نَزَلَ إِيسَى ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ فِيكُمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. And then it is also stated فَأَمَّكُمْ مِنْكُمْ. Here the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, states that what will be your condition when the son of Mary descends? Who will be your imam and who will be from amongst you? It is also mentioned in the narration that because he will be from among you, he will carry out the duty of imamat or leading you. Then it is mentioned in hadith that he who lives will see the time of Jesus, son of Mary, and he will be the Imam Mahdi and the Hakam or Adil, that is, the just and the one who decides. He will be the one who will break the cross and who will kill the swine. This is a hadith of Musnad Ahmad. So thus, this prophecy that relates to the revival of Islam, although the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's true lover, and the Imam Mahdi, Allah the Almighty fulfilled this through him. However, in actual fact, its foundations were laid 1400 years before today. In fact, even earlier than that. And this is based on the prophecy of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The promised Messiah, peace be upon his prophecies, and the blessings of God on him are not to display the greatness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Rather, these are for his master and leader. It is to raise the splendor and greatness of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And it is in order to entrench the flag of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in the entire world. These supporting signs that Allah the Almighty displays in his favor, these are in actuality for the purpose of increasing the glory of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The living God and living Prophet of Islam, these things are to prove this, and Allah the Almighty has made these things proven through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. So Ahmadiyyat is not separate from Islam. And more than the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, there is no one in the world who is a greater lover of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states in one place, "Now under the heavens, there is only one Prophet, and there is only one book, namely the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who is loftier and greater than all Prophets, and is Atmal and Akmal, that is, above all messengers. He is the seal of Prophets and the best amongst people, by following whom you can find Almighty Allah, and through which the cover of wrongdoing is removed, and the true means of salvation appears in the universe through him. The Holy Quran, which is established on true and perfect guidance, by the means of which divine knowledge and discernment is attained, and a person rids himself of human defects, and a person from the coverings of ignorance and negligence and doubts attains salvation. And attaining salvation, he reaches the stage of Haqqul Yaqeen, certainty of faith." Take any statement of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Glance at any act in his life. Take any of his writings. The direction of all of these is towards Allah the Almighty, the Holy Quran, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, told the world, and he told it very loudly. He proclaimed that if there is any living religion today, it is Islam. If there is any living messenger today who takes one to God, it is the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who when you follow, you find God. And if there is any perfect and complete book today, that is apart from all wrongdoings and apart from all errors and is in its original state, and by reading which divine knowledge and discernment is attained, and through reading which the heart of a person is purified, that is, if one reads it sincerely and purely. Otherwise, one who is not pure and sincere, it is of no benefit of him to read the Quran. This is what Allah the Almighty has stated himself in the Holy Quran. So thus, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he filled us with this thought, and he bestowed this knowledge on our heart and mind, that if there is any living prophet today, it is the spirit of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who led us to God. And also, he guided us to establishing an everlasting relationship with the Lord, so that the darkness in the heart could become far removed, and so that a relationship between man and God could be formed. His book alone is that living book, which until the day of judgment contains all commandments and all do's and don'ts, and all ways and means of reaching Almighty Allah. There is no room to think beyond this, and neither does man possess the capability to reflect beyond this. This great and ever-living Prophet, with respect to the relationship of his followers with Allah, just as he formed that relationship 1400 years ago, he has similarly formed it today, 1400 years after, and he has formed it with the same vigor and freshness. In fact, when the time dawned for the Quranic prophecy fulfillment of وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, then it was because of this love that the slave had for his master. Because of it, the advent of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, became the means of bringing back the faith from the Pleiades. And the faith of Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was re-established once again with a new splendor and glory through the Messiah of Muhammad. the people of the latter days were joined with the early people. We find this mentioned in the hadith in the following way, that is, in terms of bringing back faith from the Pleiades. Hadrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, or in fact they were sitting with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, when Surah Jummah was revealed to him. When the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, read the verse, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحُقُوا بِهِمْ, which means that from among the people who come after will be some included amongst the companions who will have not yet joined them. So upon this, somebody said, O Messenger of Allah, who are these people who on the one hand will hold the rank of companions but have not yet joined them? The Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did not provide any answer to this question. That questioner asked this question three times. The narrator says that Hazrat Salman Farzi, may Allah be pleased with him, was sitting there. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his hands on the shoulder of Hazrat Salman Farzi radiallahu anhu and said, لو كانوا الإيمان عند السرية لنالوه رجال من هؤلاء. That is, if faith were even to ascend to the Pleiades, that is, it is no longer found in the world, then some from amongst them will return the faith. Rajalun, Rijalun are both found in narrations. Anyhow, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's claim to being the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi occurred afterwards. But even before this claim, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was totally engaged in serving Islam. When through divine revelation, he learned that he was the Mujaddid, the reformer of the century. So he published an advertisement in Urdu and English, and he proclaimed that Almighty Allah has appointed me as the Mujaddid of this century, and I have been established on the task of proving the truthfulness of Islam over all other religions. And that I should show the world that the living religion, the living book, and living messenger are Islam, the Holy Quran, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He also stated that within me, in spiritual terms, the Messiah son of Mary's excellences and qualities have been deposited. He invited all the religions of the world and challenged them to come before him and assess and quiz the truthfulness of Islam if they wish. And he said that now it is Islam alone that can provide the remedy for spiritual ailments and not any other religion. So this pronouncement created an entire tremor in the various religions of India. But despite this, nobody had the courage to go and experience the truth of Islam. Prominent clerics who left Islam for Christianity, like Imamuddin, for example, and others, they had resolved that there was no need to demand any signs or to contest in any way. However, a priest, Swift, and Lake Ram, and also others, although they did show some kind of inclination, however, later incidents proved that that inclination was just mere pretense. The details relating to all of this is in the literature of the Jamaat. It is also included in the books of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and it is also mentioned in Tariqh-e Ahmadiyyat, the history of Ahmadiyyat. It is not possible to mention it all right now. Anyhow, with regard to this invitation he forwarded for the truthfulness of Islam, and the advertisement he published, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has mentioned it himself in Uzala Urham. He states that this humble one, with that very spiritual power and belief, has stood up to invite others towards Islam. Approximately 12,000 advertisements inviting towards Islam have been put through registered post and have been dispatched to the leaders and religious heads of every country. And these have been sent to the extent that one letter through registered post was dispatched to the Crown Prince of Britain. Similarly, this was sent to also the Prime Minister of Britain, Gladstone. Similarly, Bismarck and also other leaders were sent these letters and pamphlets in their boxloads. It is evident that without certainty of faith, this task cannot be accomplished. This is not self-praise, but it is to portray the prominent truth, so that nothing is left from those who are searching for the truth. Anyhow, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, continued working on proving Islam's excellence over other religions. In particular, he endeavored to halt the spread of Christianity, and to stop it, he stood before it, or put something before it. At this time, in his heart, it came into it that he should perform the jilla, that is, retreating for the world, and to pray intensely and give attention towards worship. For this, he resolved to go somewhere outside of Qadian. So during this time, Allah the Almighty told him by way of revelation that his objective would be fulfilled in Hoshiarpur. Subsequently, on the 22nd of January 1896, he travelled to Hoshiarpur and he performed that intensive retreat and prayers. And Allah the Almighty gave him much glad tidings and news of Islam's progress. So when this intensive retreat came to an end, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, on 20 February 1896, he wrote this announcement or leaflet, and this was called Sirajum Munir Bar Nishan Hai Rabbi Qadir, and this was published as a supplement of the magazine Riyaz-e-Hind of Amritsar on 1st March 1896. He wrote in this that amongst these prophecies that all will be included in details in various literatures, inshallah, the first prophecy that relates to this humble one on 20 February 1896, that is 15 Rabiul Awal, I write it briefly, that is the miracle of the divine word. And I'm writing this as an example, and this will be included in detail in various literature, inshallah, God willing. He writes that the first prophecy through revelation of God Almighty, the Lord of honor and glory, merciful, benevolent, exalted, who has power to do all that he wills. Glory be to him and exalted be his name. He has vouchsafed to me through the following revelation, that I confer upon thee a sign of my mercy according to thy entreaties, and I have honored thy prayers with acceptance through my mercy, and have blessed this thy journey, that is a journey between Hoshiarpur and Ludhiana. So a sign of power, mercy and nearness to me is bestowed on thee, a sign of grace and beneficence is awarded to thee, and thou art granted the key of success and victory. Peace be on thee, O victorious one. Thus does God speak, so that those who desire life may be rescued from the grip of death, and those who are buried in the graves may emerge therefrom, so that the superiority of Islam and the dignity of God's word may become manifest unto the people, and so that truth may arrive with all its blessings, and falsehood may depart with all its ills, so that people may understand that I am the Lord of power and do what I will, and so that they may believe that I am with thee, so that those who do not believe in God and deny and reject his religion and his book and his holy messenger, Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that they may be confronted with a clear sign and the way of the guilty one may become manifest. So rejoice therefore that a handsome and pure boy will be bestowed upon thee. Dawah will receive an intelligent youth. He will be of thy seed, and he will be of thy progeny. A handsome and pure boy will come as your guest. His name is Emmanuel and Bashir. He has been invested with a Holy Spirit, and he will be free from all impurity. He is the light of Allah. Blessed is he who comes from heaven. He will be accompanied by grace, which shall arrive with him. He will be characterized by grandeur, greatness, and wealth. He will come into the world and will heal many of their ills through his messianic qualities and through the blessings of the Holy Spirit. He is the word of Allah, for Allah's mercy and honor have equipped him with the word of majesty. He will be extremely intelligent and understanding and will be meek of heart. And he will be filled with secular and spiritual knowledge. He will convert three into four. It is Monday, a blessed Monday, sun, the light of the heart, high-ranking, noble manifestation of the first and the last, a manifestation of the true and the high. As if Allah had descended from heaven, his advent will be greatly blessed and will be a source of manifestation of divine majesty. Behold, a light cometh, a light anointed by God with the perfume of his pleasure. He will pour his spirit upon him, and he will be sheltered under the shadow of God. He will grow rapidly in stature and will be a means of procuring the release of those held in bondage. His fame will spread to the ends of the earth, and people will be blessed through him. He will then be raised to a spiritual station in heaven. This is a matter decreed. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says that God Almighty revealed to me that thy house will be filled with blessings, and I shall perfect my favours unto thee, and thou wilt have a large progeny from blessed women, some of whom you will find hereafter. And I will cause a great increase in your progeny and blessed, but some of them will die in early age, and thy progeny will spread greatly in different lands. Every branch of thy collaterals will be cut off, that is the other branch, and will come to an end through childlessness, that is, if they do not repent. Their houses will be filled with widows, and God's wrath will descend upon their wall. However, if they turn to God, he will turn to them in mercy. God will spread thy blessings about, and will revive through thee a house that is ruined, and will fill a fearful house with blessings. Thy progeny will not be cut off, and will flourish to the end of days. God will maintain thy name with honor till the day when the world comes to an end, and will convey thy message to the ends of the earth. I shall exalt thee and shall call thee to myself, but thy name will never be erased from the face of the earth. It will so happen that all those who seek to humiliate thee, and to cause thee to fail, and wish to ruin thee, they will be frustrated, and they will die in this frustration, being brought to naught. God will bestow every success upon thee, and will grant thee all that thou dost desire. I will cause an increase of thy true sincere friends, and will bless their lives and their properties, and they will grow in number, and they will always prevail over other Muslims, those Muslims who are jealous of thee and are also hostile to thee. God will not forget thy supporters, and will not overlook them, and they will have their reward according to the degree of their devotion. Thou art to me as the prophets of Bani Israel, that is, they bear semblance to him. Thou art to me as my unity, thou art of me and I am of thee. The time is approaching, indeed it is near, when God will put thy love in the hearts of kings and nobles, so much so that they will seek blessings from thy garments. O you who deny and oppose the truth, if you are in doubt concerning my servant, if you deny the grace and bounty that I have bestowed upon him, then produce some true sign, concerning yourselves like the sign of mercy. That is, if you are truthful. But if you are unable to produce it, and be sure you will never be able to produce it, then be mindful of the fire which has been prepared for the disobedient and the liars and the transgressors. So Hazur says, this announcement was published in the Riyaz-e-Hind of Amritsar. So this is a brief mention of the outcome of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him's retreat to intense prayer. So here he is also given the glad tiding of a son who would possess various qualities. So these qualities surmount to 52 in total. In fact, in one place, Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, has mentioned 58 qualities. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that when the Messiah arrives, he will have progeny, as has just been mentioned in what I read out. Now, most people have children. So what is special about having children? If this has been prophesied by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then undoubtedly there is some significance in this. And that significance is namely that he will have such children who will possess such excellent qualities that they will be the means of spreading Islam. They will be the means of spreading Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. And they will be the means of making evident the lofty station of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to the world. According to the prophecy, the year in which Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad, may Allah be pleased with him, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II was born, that is 1889. This was that same year in which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, took the first bayat, pledge of allegiance. God Almighty had commanded him to take the bayat that year. And in that very year, the foundations of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat were laid. This is that Jamaat that was now to propagate Islam. That Jamaat that was now to reform themselves. So that foundation of that Jamaat was laid, that was to propagate Islam, and that was to reform themselves as well. And by coming into the pledge of allegiance of the Messiah of Muhammad, there will be those who fulfill the prophecies of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So in short, this was the purpose of the establishment of the promised Messiah alayhi salam's community. Nonetheless, now I shall return to discussing those signs that are the signs relating to the appearance of the Musleh Maud. And those qualities and indications that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, mentioned regarding this promised son, based on knowledge from Almighty Allah. This was the son through whom the faith would be propagated in the world, and reformation in all people would be carried out. In the year in which Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, based on knowledge from Allah, declared that he was the Musleh Maud, the promised reformer, in that same year, during a jalsa, he delivered a speech detailing the 52 qualities of the Musleh Maud. So I will mention this briefly in his own words. He states that if you seriously reflect on the prophecy, then it becomes apparent that the sign of the coming Maud or reformer have been detailed in it. The first indication is that he will be a sign of might. The second indication is that he will be a sign of mercy. The third quality is that he will be a sign of nearness. The fourth indication is that he will be a sign of blessings. The fifth is that he will be a sign of favor. The sixth sign is that he will have grandeur. The seventh sign is that he will be a man of greatness. The eighth is that he will be wealthy. The ninth is that he will possess messianic qualities. The tenth quality is that he will remove the ailments of many with the Holy Spirit. The 11th is that he will be the Word of God. The 12th is that the mercy of God, it is he will be sent through that glorious Word of God. The 13th attribute is that he would be extremely intelligent. The 14th quality is that he would be extremely learned. The 15th indication is that he would be meek at heart. The 16th sign is that he would be filled with secular knowledge. The 17th quality is that he would be filled with religious knowledge. The 18th sign is that he would convert 3 into 4. The 19th attribute is that he will have a particular connection with 2 Mondays. The 20th is that he will be a very dear son. The 21st is that he will be noble and respected. The 22nd is that he will be the first manifestation, and the 23rd is that he will be the final manifestation. The 24th is that he will exhibit the truth. The 25th is that he will demonstrate greatness. The 26th attribute is that he will testify to the truth of كَأَنَّ اللَّهَ نَزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. The 27th quality is that his advent would be very blessed. The 28th attribute is that his advent would bring the advent of the glory of God. The 29th sign is that he would be Nur, light. The 30th quality is that he would be anointed with the fragrance of the pleasure of Almighty Allah. The 31st sign is that Allah would infuse his spirit in him. The 32nd sign is that Allah's shade will cover him. The 33rd attribute is that he would make progress rapidly. The 34th quality is that he would be the means of delivering those in bondage. The 35th sign is that he would attain fame to the corners of the earth. The 36th sign is that nations will seek blessings from him. The 37th indication is that he would be raised to the heavens spiritually. The 38th attribute is that he would arrive late. And the 39th sign is that he would arrive from afar. The 40th sign is that he would be the pride of the messengers. The 41st attribute is that his visible blessings would distribute all over the world. The 42nd is that his internal blessings would spread all over the world. The 43rd is that, like Joseph, his elder brothers would oppose him. The 44th sign is that he would be Bashir ud-Dawla. The 45th indication is that he would be Shadi Khan. The 46th sign is that he would be Alim al-Kabab. The 47th indication is that in his beauty and beneficence he would be like the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The 48th quality is that he would be the word of might. The 49th indication is that he would be Kalimatullah Khan. The 50th sign is that he would be Nasiruddin, the helper of the faith. The 51st sign is that he would gain victory of the religion. And the 52nd sign is that he would be the second Bashir. So Hazur says, these are all the qualities. Each attribute can form a separate subject for a speech, and there is insufficient time for that at present. Anyhow, these were the signs. If we minutely assess the life of Hazrat Musleh Maud, and if we study it, if we reflect it, and if we assess it, during his 52 years of Khilafat, then we find that every one of these qualities is evident in him. As I have stated, there is insufficient time to go into the exact details of all of this at this time. I will discuss some of the areas later. The full details are available in Jamaat's literature. Here I should also mention that when the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, published this prophecy, that at that time, Pandit Lekh Ram, while using extremely profane language, he displayed an immoral and lowly attitude against each part and every aspect of the prophecy. The moral condition and the anger of Lekh Ram towards this prophecy will be mentioned me by now by way of examples, although this cannot be covered entirely. I will just give one or two examples. Pandit Lekh Ram on 18 March 1886 used extremely vulgar language, and he published a very deceiving pamphlet. And in this he claimed that every word he wrote was from the authority of God. So he says that just like the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that his progeny would grow profusely, so Lake Ram Rai said, now your progeny would cease and come to an end very rapidly. At the most, he said that it would remain for 3 years, but no more than that. And Lake Ram said that if a boy is born, then his attributes would be contrary to the prophecy, and rather than a sign of mercy, he would be a sign of distress. And he would not be the Muslim Oud, God forbid, he would be the one who brings disorder. So Hazur says, in short, he twisted every part of the prophecy and wrote rudely about every aspect of that prophecy. And he said, to the extent that he said that God said that he is a chief liar, I have never heard his prayer or accepted it. The outcome of that person is known to the entire world. So it was these types of profane, rude and false things that were included in this announcement. And he was a Hindu who was challenged by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. There were similarly some Christian priests who were opposed to Islam, and they displayed a similar behavior and attitude. However, there were even some so-called Muslims who demonstrated this very rudeness and bad nature. Observing the attitude of these people, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, published an announcement in which he outlined the greatness of the promised son and said that people should open their eyes, that this is not just a prophecy, rather it is a great heavenly sign. Allah the Almighty sent this sign to make evident the truthfulness and greatness of the Holy Prophet, the greatest of all prophets, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And in fact, and in reality, this sign is 100 times greater than bringing a dead person back to life. Because the reality of bringing someone back to life, that involves one praying to the Lord to return the spirit of the person deceased. And here, because of the intense blessings of Almighty Allah, and also the intense blessings of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the great Lord accepted my prayers, and they have been accepted. And he has promised to send such a blessed spirit, that through it external and internal blessings will spread in the entire world. So although this sign appears akin to bringing back the dead to life, but upon reflection you will come to know that this sign is actually 100 times better than returning the dead to life. Surely the spirit of the dead can only be returned through prayers. Here as well, through prayers, a spirit is being called. However, there is a huge chasm of difference between other spirits and this spirit. Those people who are hidden apostates among Muslims, they are not content by the miracles of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. In fact, they are seriously aggrieved that why has this come to pass? So Hazur says, anyhow, this is a glorious prophecy that proved during the 52-year period of Hazrat Muslih Maud that how that person rapidly progressed. How, with what speed, he advanced the work of spreading Islam in the world. He established missions, mosques were constructed. And despite the fact that at that time resources were very scarce, the Jamaat did not have financial provisions or prosperity. Yet the Jamaat had been established in 34 or 35 countries. The Quran had been translated into several languages. Missions had been opened. Similarly, he also established the framework of the Jamaat. That is, the framework of the administrative system of the Jamaat. It was established by Hazrat Muslih Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, which continues to run until today. And no better framework can be formed than this. Then there are auxiliary organizations that he formed which continue to run today. They were made at that time. In short, every one of his works was ample proof of his wisdom and learning. We have the commentary of the Holy Quran, and also his other intellectual works of greatness. This proved he possessed abundant knowledge of both religious and secular matters. Here I should also clarify that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, himself, he believed that this son, whose name was Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad, he believed that he was the Musliha Maud, that is the promised reformer. Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ismail Sahib Sarsavi, may Allah be pleased with him, states that we have plainly heard the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, state. And we have not only heard him say this once, but we have heard him repeatedly say, and he would say that the child mentioned in the prophecy is none other than Mia Mahmud. So Sheikh Saab says that we also heard the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, say that such passion of the religion is found in Mia Mahmud that often I pray especially for him. Hazrat Musliha Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, did not believe he was the fulfillment of this prophecy until God Almighty had informed him himself. This is a long dream regarding which he states that there is part vision and part revelation that he was shown. At the end of it, Hazrat Musliha Maud states that in accordance with the commandment of Almighty Allah, I swear by Allah and I announce that Almighty Allah has made me in a fulfillment of the prophecy of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that promised son who was to convey the name of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, to the corners of the earth. So Hazur says that he saw this dream in 1944, and this is when he stated this. So now I would like to present various testimonies of non-Ahmadis regarding Hazrat Musliha Maud. A respected non-Ahmadi scholar, Maulvi Samiullah Khan Saab Faruqi, he wrote before the creation of Pakistan an article, Izhar-e-Haq, and he wrote this in a tract. He writes that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is informed that from his progeny, God will establish someone and will provide him, and he will be given special nearness and revelation. And through him, truth and what is right will progress. Many people will accept the truth. So the writer said that read this prophecy and read it again and again. And he writes further on that read this prophecy, read it again and again, and say faithfully that has this prophecy not been fulfilled? When this prophecy was made, the current Khalifa is only a child, and no will of any kind or no will whatsoever was made out to him to make him the Khalifa from Mirza Sahib, that is the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. In fact, the election of Khilafat was led to the general consensus. Subsequently, at that time, the majority chose Hakim Nuruddin as the Khalifa. So upon this, the opponents mocked and jested this prophecy. However, after Hakim Sahib's demise, Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad was made the Khalifa, and it is an actuality that the speed of progress of Ahmadiyyat during his era is extraordinary. So Hazur says this is a non-Ahmadi writing all of this, and that writer continues that he writes further on that in the time of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him himself, the number of Ahmadis was very low. In the era of Khalifa Nuruddin, we see no significant increase. But in the time of the current Khalifa, Mirzayat has virtually reached every area of the world, and the circumstances indicate that in the next census, the number of Mirzayis compared to 1931 will be more than double. Whatever firm attempts have been made by the opponents to finish off Mirzayat were never made before to the extent that they are being made right now. So in short, from his progeny, a person was established in accordance with the prophecy, and through him the Jamaat experiences astonishing and incredible progress. This clearly proves that the prophecy of Mirza Sahib was fulfilled word by word. Hazur says this is the statement that this writer gave. Then a non-Muslim Sikh journalist, Arjun Singh, editor of the Rangin Amritsar, admits that Mirza Sahib in 1901, when Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad was a child, made this prophecy. So he has included a verse of poetry of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that the glad tiding is given that there is a son of yours who one day will be my beloved. I will dispel the darkness through him and will transform the world. This will be displayed. What is this glad tiding? Food for my heart. God Almighty has disgraced all the enemies. So this writer writes further on that this prophecy is certainly astonishing. In 1901, neither was Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad a major scholar, and nor were his political skills evident. At such a time, to say that you will have a son who will be like this and that, this is surely proof of some spiritual power. It can be said that as Mirza Sahib made a claim and established his seat, he may have supposed that after him, my successor would be my son. However, this consideration was erroneous, because Mirza Sahib did not place a condition for Khilafat that it must be chosen from the family or the children of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Subsequently, the first Khalifa was a person who had no relations with the Mirza Sahib's family. Then it was highly likely that after Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, Khalifatul Masih I, somebody else could become the Khalifa. So this person writes that at that occasion as well, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib, Amir Jamaat Lahore, was hopeful of becoming the Khalifa, but the majority sided with Mirza Bashiruddin, and this is how he was chosen as the Khalifa. He writes that now the question is that if there was no spiritual power operating in the elder Mirza Sahib, then how did he know that he would have such a son? When Mirza Sahib made the aforementioned pronouncement, at that time he had three sons. He would pray for all three of them, but the prophecy only relates to one. And now we observe that this son has proved to be such that he has brought about a massive transformation in the world. Regarding the promised son, the divine promise was that he would be a man of great resolve and he would be replete with religious and secular knowledge. So a well-known journalist, Khwaja Hassan Nizami of Delhi, he has provided a written sketch, and he states that if he remains ill, as Hazrat says, he is referring to Hazrat Musleh Maud, as the writer writes that often he is ill. However, these ailments cannot impede his practical activities. He has carried out his work calmly in the storm of opposition and has proven his brave Mughal spirit. And he is of a noble disposition of the Mughal caste. He has political nous and possesses religious wisdom and understanding. He is skilled at war. In other words, he is the master of the intellectual and literary war. Hazur says that then an important news was given regarding the promised son is that he will be the means of delivering those who are in bondage. The astonishing manner this came to pass actually leaves people spellbound. The history of the Kashmir freedom movement bears testimony to this. The responsibility of ensuring the success of the movement rested on the All India Kashmir Committee. And this well-known movement, based on Hazur's scheme and the prominent Muslim scholars of the India Pak, for example Zulfikar Ali Khan, Alama Sir Dr. Muhammad Iqbal, Khwaja Hassan Nizami of Delhi, Sayyid Habib, editor of the newspaper Siyasat, on the advice of all these people, on 25 July 1931, it was established in Shimla, and Khalifatul Masih II was entrusted as his head. The result of his successful leadership was that the Muslims who were deprived of even the most basic human rights, and those who were living a life of slavery, within an extremely short time, they began to breathe the air of freedom. Their political and social rights were established. The assembly was established for the first time, and delivered a speech and also wrote, and they were granted proportionate representation. The Muslim press proclaimed the excellent services of Hazrat Musleh Maud and paid tribute to him, to the extent that they wrote that at that time the situation of Kashmir was critical. And at that time, those who, despite differing religious beliefs, nominated Mirza Sahib as the president of the committee, they made an excellent choice, keeping the attainment of success in view. If, due to religious differences at that time, Mirza Sahib was not elected president, then the movement would have failed terribly, and the Muslim community would have suffered a huge loss. Abdul Mujeed Saleh Sahib, regarding the Kashmir Freedom Movement, writes that Sheikh Muhammad Abdullah and other workers, that is, workers of Kashmir, they had open contact and communication with Mirza Mahmud and others. This was because Mirza Sahib had so many means and was helping the Kashmiri committee in also in so many ways. The Kashmir workers were naturally indebted to him for this. Allama Fath Puri Sahib, once studying Hazrat Musleh Hamau's well-known Tafsir-e-Kabir, the commentary of the Holy Quran, he wrote a letter to him that nowadays volume 3 of this commentary is before me and I am studying it in minute detail, and undoubtedly a new angle of the commentary of the Holy Quran has been presented by you, and this commentary in its own right is the very first of its nature. Intellect and quotations, etc., have been displayed in a very organized or harmonious manner. Your knowledge, understanding, and exceptional discernment and perception, and the brilliant arguments put forward, each and everything entailed, is outstanding. And I am extremely saddened that until now, why was I not aware of this? If only I could see all the volumes of this. Yesterday, reading the commentary of Surah Al-Hud with respect to the Prophet Lot, I came to know of your views, and I was extremely happy. And I became obligated to write this letter, that with respect to Ha Ulai Banati, your commentary was very different from other commentators, and it's not possible for me to express this in words. May Allah the Almighty keep you under His peace. So Hazru says, this was written in 1963. Mulana Abdul Majid Riyabadi, who was a commentator of the Holy Quran himself, and he was also the editor of Sidq-e-Jadid. On the death of Hazur, he wrote that in terms of the Quran and the knowledge of the Quran and the publication of the Quran and the propagation of the global tabligh of Islam, the activities and the determination of dedicated service of Hazrat Musleh Maud, which he has carried out, may Allah reward him for him, in terms of the interpretation of the discernment and understanding of the Holy Quran, and the meanings and interpretation he has given, that was certainly a lofty interpretation. May Allah reward him for it. So Hazur says, I have briefly mentioned the background to the prophecy, and also the fulfillment of Hazrat Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud Ahmad Khalifatul Masih II, how it was fulfilled in his person. His intellectual pursuits are such that they have given an entirely new perception to the world, and this has been admitted by the world. I have presented just a few examples of this. Societal, economic, political, spiritual, religious, on every aspect, whenever Hazrat Musleh Maud lifted his pen, or whenever he delivered a speech about any of this, or whenever he guided or advised the world or leaders, then, with respect to his knowledge, his intellect, his spirituality, his discernment, nobody was left without being influenced and affected by it. He was the Muslim Maud, the promised reformer. He came to reform the world. Allah the Almighty sent him to reform the world. Spiritual and religious reformation are all entailed within this. Every type of reformation is included. As I have stated, his Khilafat remained for 52 years. That is, his Iraid Khilafat was for 52 years, and apart from Friday's sermons, he also wrote so many books. He also delivered many other speeches. And then when these speeches were put into print, or are being put into print, this is an amazing treasure of spirituality and intellectualism, and this has become a treasure, the Fazl-e-Umar Foundation. It was established upon the demise of the second Khalifa. It was established by the third Khalifa. So they are taking all of these things and they are putting it into book form. And this is continuing to be worked on until today. Up till now, 21 volumes have been formed of this. And this is apart from the sermons, which are separate. And this is published as Anwarul Uloom. every volume entails almost 600 or 700 pages, I would like to take the opportunity here to say that the Fazl-e-Umar Foundation should quicken their activities and they should try to complete all the volumes, that is, all the Urdu literature that they are gathering and collating together. Then this must be translated in various languages as well. Hadhrat Musleh Maud stated one place that Allah the Almighty has taken all the languages of the world and in a very short time they have been collated, and this has made our work so much easier. That, as we said, there are so many languages, but there are some very well-known or famous languages that have basically become dominant in the world. The purpose is correct that apart from Arabic and Urdu, English, German and French, it is these languages that practically are spoken and understood in the world, in various areas of the world. So if translations can take place into these languages, then 90% of the population can be sent our message. Many of the books of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, have been translated. But there are many books that in order to quench the thirst, the spiritual thirst of the world, must be translated and sent to them. Up until now, this translation has been carried out by other departments. The Fazl-e-Umar Foundation is not doing this. But actually, this is the work of the Fazl-e-Umar Foundation, if it was not before. But now they should draw attention towards it, and I draw their attention towards it. Because the other departments of the Jat are translating the books of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And they are going to give priority towards that. And alongside, to whatever extent possible, they also translate the other books. And then there is also other Jamaati literature that is being translated. So anyhow, the Fazl-e-Umar Foundation must expand their work and they must quicken the pace of their activities. Because of these books not being translated of the Hadhrat Musleh Maud, some people have plagiarized the work and they have taken the work and copied it and they have translated it in their own name and published it elsewhere. Our missionary of the Arabic desk, he told me that Minhajul Talibin, it is a book of Hadhrat Musleh Maud such that is remarkable in terms of moral training and also tarbiyat issues. So one person has taken this book and one person in Arabic has translated it and published it under his own name, because that person knew Urdu as well. When actually Hadhrat Musleh Maud has said about this book that I have reflected on this subject, and by the grace of Almighty Allah, such a new understanding on this topic has been given to me that has totally transformed the understanding and perception of this issue of morality. So the glory of the prophecy of Hadhrat Musleh Maud, by looking at his works, by looking at his activities and achievements, it radiates even more brilliantly. As I have said, this is actually the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And through this, our master, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his eternal status is made manifest through this prophecy. However, we should always remember this as well, that with respect to this prophecy, it is not related to just one person being born and just one person performing activities and then after his demise it finishing. The reality of this prophecy will radiate at that point. But also there will be from amongst us those who further this work. That is the work that was brought by the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And for the help and succor for which Allah the Almighty gave him the Musleh Maud. Who for the sake of propagating Islam and for reforming the world and also for the reformation of people, he used every single one of his capabilities and qualities. So thus today it is also our responsibility that within our own vicinity and in our circles we should all try to be Muslim, reformers. Using our intellect, using our word, using our deed, we should spread the beautiful message of Islam in all directions. We should also draw attention to reforming our own selves. We should draw our attention towards reforming our children. And we should also draw our attention to reforming the society. And this reformation and message, in order to establish it in the world, you may make your best and full efforts. And the source of this, Allah the Almighty made the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So thus, if with this thought and reflection we spend our lives, then the day of Muslim Maud, we will be those who fulfill it properly. Otherwise, it will just be hollow speeches. May Allah the Almighty enable us to do this. After Jummah, I will lead a funeral prayers of Mukarrama Kanta Orchid Sahiba, who was the wife of Bashir Orchid Sahib, who has passed away. She passed away on 16 February 2011 at the age of 81. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was the granddaughter of Khalifa Rashiduddin Sahib, companion of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and also Khalifa Alimuddin Sahib's daughter. And Hadrat Nasir, may Allah be pleased with hers, she was her niece. Hadrat Nasir, may Allah be pleased with her, was Hadrat Khalifa Masih II's first wife. She was very regular in prayers. She was also a very simple person and very grateful of Almighty Allah. She looked after poor people and she had great devotion to Khilafat. She was a very sincere and pious woman. She had a great relationship with Almighty Allah, and this was a prominent aspect of her life. Also, her Waqf Zindagi husband, she was enabled to give glorious services with him. In Trinidad, she was also Sadr Lajna, and she was also Sadr Lajna for more than 10 years in Scotland. She was always active in trying to do Talim and Tarbiyah to Lajna Nasrat. The deceased is a Musi. There are two daughters and three sons left behind in the household. Four of the children I know personally, they are active in Jamaat activities. And they are those who give a lot of services towards the Jamaat. In India, Bashir Orchid Sahib, during his military service, accepted Islam. And then in 1945, he met Hadrat Musleh Maud, and he entered the fold of the Jamaat. And in 1946, he dedicated his life, he became Waqf Zindagi, and he had the honor of being the first English missionary. Hadrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, chose his wife himself for him. And then in West Indies, in Scotland, Oxford, he served the Jamaat. When he became an Ahmadi at that time, Hadrat Musleh Maud said that initially I believe that the English people would not be inclined towards Islam, but seeing him, it came into my thought, and I do hope and I expect that amongst the English people as well, they will be inclined towards Islam and they will accept Islam, inshallah, God enabling. Anyhow, the deceased with her husband, with great loyalty, she served the Jamaat in every area. May Allah the Almighty be forgiving towards her, and may she be granted a lofty station in Paradise. May all the children be granted steadfastness and also solace.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.
یہ جنازہ کیونکہ حاضر ہے اس لیے نماز کے بعد میں باہر جاؤں گا جنازہ پڑھانے کے لیے، اب آپ یہیں صفوں میں کھڑے رہیں.